I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Oh my God, Yumi is outside. Hold on 1 second. Oh my God.
Did you? I look like he saw her through the window.
It looked like he saw a ghost.
Like through the window, he sees the cats outside. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cat is coming from outside the house.
Hello, Scranton Strangler. The call is coming from inside the house.
Inside the house. Oh, there she is.
Safe and sound.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. For your business paper needs, or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and Sparrow's shift manager, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, your new CFO.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Brian told me to always tell women you work in finance. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think I want her to meet my mom. Mom, I gotta go. One of my friends is getting beaten up by some girls.
It's the whole story in 3X right there.
Every week we get together to talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll start with our main topic, and then we'll move to the conference room for a small segment, and then we'll finish with some trivia from a listener. This week's topic is Michael in New York.
Featuring... Edwin in New York.
Edwin is recording this waist deep in water in a subway station in New York. How is it there?
It is perfectly fine. The weather is really nice.
Okay.
Yeah. And me in New York, forget about it. But yes, I'm in New York right now for the U.S. Open. My travel got pushed back a day because of the storms. But I made it here. I'm here watching the tennis. It's been fantastic. And since we knew I was going to be here, we thought that we could do this fun concept episode about Michael in New York, a lot of the different times that Michael comes into New York and what that kind of means for him and what that kind of means for the show. So we thought this would be the perfect opportunity to dip into that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think you guys put together a list of episodes. I noticed that you left off of that episode because this is I'll start with this one. This is just a short New York visit, but Stress Relief is also has some New York when Michael and Dwight have to go get is it, disciplined by David Wallace. Mm-hmm. And Michael walks to the window and says, the city. Dwight, we're not mad, we're just disappointed.
That was another potential drop up front.
I
should have just done that. I'm just in the city.
That's okay. There are a number of we have a preliminary list of episodes we'll talk about. I'm sure we'll try to cover as many moments as we can think of in addition to the ones we kind of mapped out. But just the recurring theme of Michael going to New York, what that kind of means for the show and where and how that kind of evolves with the way that Michael interacts with corporate, generally speaking. So
right.
I think the very first instance of Michael going to New York is in Valentine's Day when he's invited to meet the new CFO, David Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He is supposed to prepare financials to present to him, but leads off with the many faces of Scranton, a video introducing everyone to the branch, a Great Scott joint. And Jan responds with a look of pure horror as Michael plays the film that he was thinking about entering in festivals, but it's not really about that. That's the beginning. And then we get a lot of Michael walking around New York and interacting with the city, which is some of my favorite stuff in the whole show.
This is the episode where he thinks he sees Tina Fey and ends up missing Conan O'Brien.
That's right, the fake Conan O'Brien.
Which I love because, I mean, you know, watching it, streaming it now, you forget that, like, 30 Rock is on immediately after The Office. And so it's almost like it was kind of a fake out that you, I mean, I feel like when I first watched it, I thought I was going to see Tina Fey on The Office.
That would have been cool. That would have been fun. Yeah,
would have made sense. It would have made total sense. Mm-hmm.
But Conan O'Brien would make a second cameo on The Office during an Emmy sketch where he crashes through all these different TV shows and he crashes through the ceiling. You guys have seen that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the Breaking Bad universe comes into that one too.
That's right. Yeah. Jesse walks in the door. Yeah.
That's right.
Gives a paper bag to Creed. Give the bag to him? I don't remember.
Yeah. I love, but just to go back to I love any situation where Michael can just walk around, interact with the city, be confidently incorrect about everything. Yes. And the way that
Michael loves wearing leather gloves, and he always wears them when he goes to New York. And there's always a scene where he turns to the camera and he just holds his arms out and kind of looks around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his, you know, like he's showing the world his hometown, which is not the case at all because he doesn't seem to know a ton about New York despite loving it.
Sorry, real quick. Can you hear that air conditioner and should I turn it off?
I can't hear anything.
You can't hear the air conditioner?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Also, I'm going to plug in the computer before it
dies. I'm leaving all this in.
Okay. All right. Do what you do. This is great content. If you're for everyone listening at home, just know this is the sound of plugging in a computer.
It's funny that in Michael's first like New York foray in Valentine's Day, almost every scene where he's like out and about doing something, by the end of the scene, whatever he's been talking about has been thrown back in his face in every way, which feels very New York, which is just like, it's a place that can chew people up. And even like starting right where he's like, I'm going to get me a New York slice. And he goes right into Sbarro's and you're like, all right, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Favorite New York pizzeria.
Yeah, he called it's New York, the city of love. And then, of course, when he's like, oh, everyone takes subway in New York. It's fast, it's efficient, gets you there on time. Okay, there's a guy pooping in a cardboard box down there. The way he just immediately starts running up the stairs is pretty... That's a good illustration of how what Michael's relationship with New York is, which is not based in reality at all.
He describes... I'm jumping right back in. He describes... He's like, what it would be like to live in New York, work at corporate, be with Jan, watch shows and eat hot dogs. That's his dream life in New York.
Scranton on acid. No, on speed. No, on steroids. And then he's lost. And then he's like, okay, I think that's either the Hudson or the East. So we should head back this way. like New York's this small town that, you know, if you get lost, just head towards the water. It's like, that's not how it works there, bud.
No.
But yeah, that's, of course, he's in New York, in the first place, because at the beginning of season two in Sexual Harassment, we learn that the CFO Randall has been let go, fired. This brings in David Wallace. And eventually that's who he's there to meet, the new CFO. Mm-hmm. And that kicks off a long domino effect of him needing to go to New York to talk to either Jan or mostly to talk to David Wallace.
I find it very fascinating the way that the show creates the relationship with corporate, which is kind of this entity symbolized or embodied by New York, by Jan, by David Wallace. Those are kind of our touch points, you know, those few people in that physical location. Other than that, we don't interact with very many of the other corporate figures. And Ryan, you know, when he's there, Charles, etc. But at this juncture in the show, it feels like Michael is talking to corporate and Jan is kind of the conduit because she has this other relationship with Michael. And in that moment when he's presenting, it seems like there are two alternate versions. I mean, there are alternate branch managers, but alternate versions of Michael. There's Josh, the very, like, very put together, very capable one. And then there's Kreggers, who is off the rails and doesn't have his numbers and makes Michael look better by comparison. He's kind of like an alternate version of Michael, one that's worse, one that's really impossible to like. And it kind of just gives us another light on Michael. He has a redeeming moment in this episode when he talks to David to say that him telling the other managers that he slept with Jan was a joke. That is a redemptive moment. But then there are a lot of really good moments like that for Michael in New York, in addition to stupid moments. I will say that increasingly one of my favorite moments in the show is when Michael and Jan kiss at the end of that of Valentine's Day, when Michael's getting on the elevator. And after the kiss, Michael turns and looks at the camera. Jan turns and looks at the camera, realizes that she has kissed Michael on camera. Her face falls, and the elevator doors close on Michael.
That is a really good shot.
Yeah, it's a great, it's
perfect
great succession right there. But yeah.
I mean, I'm really excited to talk about Launch Party 2, which is or Night Out, which is Michael and Dwight going to visit Ryan in New York. Which sure. I love that, like, you fully expect this to be a disaster, but instead, due to Ryan's drug habits, he's so excited to see them, and they actually have a night out.
They do. I mean, fairly successful night out, depending on what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Or kind of, I don't know, a little bit of everything. I mean, but, it's a you know, hashtag legend, right? Ryan Howard that night, really going for it. Gets beat up gets him into the club. Dwight Michael coming through with some game, dude. Getting into Michael, that club.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it's Michael who gets them into the club, really, because Ryan's like, oh, I don't know this guy. Like, we can't get in without girls. And then, like, Michael just grabs the...
No, it's Dwight. Dwight. Dwight's like, you guys pair up.
Oh,
pair
you're
up.
Right.
Yeah. Jersey State basketball team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Two guys, you know, two girls to a guy, sometimes three. And they get in there.
It depends on how you think about success for each of these characters. So it's a success for Michael in that he says to Jim, it's not the horniness, it's the loneliness. And he does have a good night hanging out with
maybe
his boys.
Maybe the saddest line I know. This entire show.
Dwight does very well in all of his interactions throughout the evening. Roy.
Except
for
pouring the drink out that they buy him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Nice try.
Mm-hmm. I love that moment where Michael sends the photo to everyone.
Yeah.
Stuck at the office. Ugh, just a collective groan. Not Roy, but Troy. Yeah. Succeeds in running away.
Yeah.
Don't bring him to a hospital. And then he just turns and leaves.
Squat little run. Yeah. Do you live in a normal size
Tolkien
house?
Character.
Yeah, he's a normal guy.
You feel a little bad for Troy in that moment, yeah. But him saying don't bring him to a hospital and running away, like, Troy is not a good friend.
Well, and then later Dwight brings him back as a candidate for the junior salesman position, and he drinks water by cutting the hole out of a plastic bag and spraying it into his mouth.
Wow.
It's a very New York thing to do.
Ryan succeeds. Yeah. He doesn't succeed in being able to dance, because why wouldn't they let him dance? But he does succeed in getting home safe that night, thanks to Michael and Dwight.
And makes, you know, hypothetically, if I have a friend who had a drug problem. And he later, when singing to Michael as he leaves in the conference room, he will reference this as Michael helping him get off drugs.
For sure. And although we don't really see the interim, you know.
We don't. But
outside of the Michael Scott Paper Company,
For Ryan, this is Michael helping him get off drugs, which is just stopping him one night from completely killing himself.
Maybe the way that Michael helped him get off drugs was give him the advice that he learned from The Wire, even though he doesn't understand a word. that was
the advice he gives him.
It was like, first you get that guy, and you get it. You get. Well, hold on. Let me
you
pull
flip
up the
him.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
You're right.
I'm not gonna try to do
right,
it all.
Right. Okay.
Here's what you do. You're gonna tell him that you're his friend and that you're gonna help him and that everything's gonna be all right. And then you put a wire on him and you find out who's selling him drugs. And then you get that guy and you flip him, turn him into a snitch. You follow that guy to the people who's been really bad. Been watching The Wire recently. I don't understand a word of it.
Yep.
I think, to bring this episode back to what New York can mean for Michael.
Yeah.
Michael has so many delusions of fame and of a different version of his life and of
grandeur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of a life with Jan and working in corporate. And maybe the corporate version is what we see in Valentine's Day, what we see in The Job. which we'll talk about as well. But this is like Michael goes to New York to meet girls, to get laid, as he says. Mm-hmm. He brings Dwight along for the ride. So like there's an element of like this is the one place where they go. It's kind of, and they go back to it in Launch Party as well. Like this place where things are like really cool and very very hip, and, and where Michael can go to like try to find this thing that he doesn't seem to have in his life.
Which is there's a lot of things Michael doesn't have in his life, mm-hmm. and we see this sort of, I mean, between, because before Night Out we have the job, we have the deposition,
the negotiation,
and the negotiation. So we have all of those before this Night Out thing, and like you say, those are all sort of related more to his job, his professional life, his personal life. New York, it's pretty harsh to him every time he goes there. I mean, even in the deposition, that's this kind of blending of these two things where mm-hmm. he's in New York yet again for a disciplinary reason, or related to a disciplinary reason where he has to give a deposition.
Yeah, not a good reason, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a good reason.
Yeesh.
And while he's there, his diary, which has been taken by Jan, how did you do and get it? You store it under my side of the mattress. I don't like the lump. She copies and distributes his diary amongst all of the corporate people. And there's the great
11 copies.
Great scene at lunch where Michael just walks in holding his tray like a high schooler, looking around, and it's just everyone's thumbing through his diary, vigorously highlighting it, underlining it.
Nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
Absolute nightmare. And this is like the coldest New York is to Michael in that moment, which is just like, you're here because we need your statements, we need your testimony, we don't really care about you, Jan doesn't really care about you. Maybe Toby actually does care about you, Michael, and he's trying to talk to you about his divorce and how he didn't like choosing between his mom and his dad. That Michael just shoves his tray off the table and walks away. He doesn't deserve anything.
It's a very cold place in that moment, for sure.
Yeah, there's an element of Michael in the deposition where he is like a fish out of water. For mm-hmm. someone who enjoys going to New York as much as Michael normally does, or the fact that he'll just drive up there, like with Daryl, to negotiate with Jan based on her invitation. But still, like, he's always willing to go. It never seems like he's hesitating to go. He really feels like a fish out of water in the deposition, in that, like, they're taking note of everything that he says and reading it back to him and putting it under scrutiny and looking at him completely out of any context of joking, which is the way that Michael tends to interact with everything. And his stupidity is really, like, put on display.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how long have you known the plaintiff? I've never read it, but I'm looking forward to reading the Pelican Brief. So, like, it's all on display, and it's a huge departure from Scranton, which is a really Michael-friendly place for the most part. He knows how many school districts there are. You know, he knows how many schools there are. He like is a man of Scranton, and when he goes to New York, it all falls apart for him in that way.
He's a regular Joe Biden, Scranton native, his thing there. Tries to, almost every time Michael goes to New York, it's under a slightly false pretense, or he thinks that he's there for a different reason than he actually is, almost every single time, which is either he thinks he's in trouble, but he's not, or he thinks he's not in trouble, but he is, or he's just going to like get laid, but he's not, or all this stuff.
Or he thinks that he's applying for Jan to work next alongside Jan.
He's got a job actually, in the bag, but he doesn't.
But he's actually applying for Jan's job. That's a fantastic observation. That's really,
he's
really
there
good.
He's there to like be celebrated at the shareholder meeting, but he's there to be reprimanded.
Well,
like,
and then,
to take the fall.
And then how much of that is corporate versus Michael? Because it's a bit of both, you know?
I think like they bring him in as padding for like whatever is going on. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, he's a company man. He's dumb. He won't care. He'll take the hit. And he's fooled every time he goes to New York.
There are a lot of moments in New York where Michael is truly flying blind, I guess, as kind of a result of coming in on that false pretense. Like, this is one that is completely Michael's fault, but he shows up at the interview a day early.
Yeah.
And David says to him, "Isn't our interview tomorrow?" And Michael says, "Yes. I was just in the neighborhood and thought I would stop by." Michael is having an improvisation right there.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, as he says, an improvisation. And you just happened to be in Midtown Manhattan. I thought I'd catch a show. And they have this whole conversation. Michael improvises these questions for him that make him look really nice. The moment when the receptionist there just gives him a little smile and nod after David says, "I look forward to talking to you." And Michael says, "And I look forward to working with you."
Yeah.
And the receptionist there gives him a little nod.
So then, confident.
And then Michael says, I'm going to get this job. The other branch managers are all morons. Calls, hey, Pam, I thought the interview was a day early. I accidentally drove to New York.
Got to be about 2 hours late.
3 hours late, yeah.
It's about a 2.5 hour drive, Scranton to New York, which is, that's a distance that's just like in the realm of you can make a last minute decision to go do that. Mm-hmm. Like a 3 hour drive is like, I need that planned in my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 2.5, it's like a Portland to Eugene. It's like 2 hours. You're like, if I had to do that today, I could, but I don't want to.
No.
And we see this happen to Jan. There's that time where she's like, I've driven like 400 miles today, which is like keeps driving back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a distance where like New York is always within reach from Scranton, but it's, you really need a reason.
Mm-hmm. I think too, I really like this point that you made about false pretenses, because Michael has a lot of moments where he redeems himself or looks better, or like things turn out very well for Michael in a way that he wasn't expecting. And a lot of that has to do with that. So, I mean, he redeems himself at the end of Valentine's Day. He kind of redeems himself at the end of the deposition. I mean, redeem is probably the wrong word, but like he has that moment where he says, absolutely not. When they put him on the spot, as if the company shows this disrespect to their employees.
Right. I think you're a nice guy too, David.
Yeah, and yeah.
Right after that is dinner party, mm-hmm. and like I feel like the tag on the deposition is like the death knell for Michael and Jan's relationship, which is when they're sitting like, "Do you want to get some food? Like, how about Chinese?" She's like, "I want to save money, something cheap." That was my cheap suggestion. Oh. Chinese was my cheap suggestion. Oh. How about we get fast food? Sure. Fast food's fine. It's just fast a downer fine. Of a scene.
Oof.
And that leads right into Night Out, which then, dinner party, which then gets us pretty much out of that relationship. And then, yeah, by Night Out, Michael is single and ready to mingle.
You expect to get screwed by your company. You don't expect to get screwed by your girlfriend. You
expect to get screwed by your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And single Michael. Horny single Michael is a dangerous force in public, and we see this in Night Out, and we've already talked about Night Out, but we can move on from that one.
I guess to continue this like idea of positive
moments.
How did you
all find each other? Sorry, that's just a great moment.
Amazon.
The way Dwight asks that is not like, how do you know each other? But it's, how did you find each other?
Yeah.
Very different question.
Yeah.
Jersey City varsity basketball
He's
team.
He's finding mythical creatures out in the wild.
Amazons.
Yeah. If you'll allow me to continue this, like, positive moments of...
Go ahead.
Michael, yeah. I'll allow it. Yeah. Mr. Scott, we'd like to ask you some questions. I'll allow it.
Michael... everyone! Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation.
There we go. Perfect.
Very good. Very, very good. I'm so close to losing. I'm so close to losing my train of thought. When Michael is Michael thinks he's going to get punished.
I'm not even in the scene.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
It turns out that he's being praised. How about an attaboy for you?
Oh yeah.
And he just kind of speaks off the top of his head, and he's just pontificating about the workplace and everything, and never for any reason. There's that happens, and then the shareholder meeting, where Michael is able to build up the crowd and whip them into a frenzy, even though there's nothing for them to do. Everything's out the window.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Things are looking bleak. But again, that's what makes – in shareholder meeting is the one time where he flips it around on New York. Like every time he's there, gets bamboozled or something, and now he sort of turns it back on corporate, and he forces them to come up with a plan, which they don't have. Mm-hmm. But Michael doesn't care because he is high on the crowd at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
he takes
and
a
limo lady.
the expression on limo lady's face when he calls her back is so priceless. Yeah,
we are going carbon neutral.
Yeah. Ooh, absolutely fantastic.
A limousine.
You're all corrupt, you should be in jail. Limousine. Yeah, when he does the spin, and then he runs out, and then he comes back, and he gets to live out all of those fantasies that he's had. perhaps from his comedy special, Here I Go Again, where he goes out, he like runs back up there pumping his arms, and he points out to the crowd, you. I love you, New York. Yeah, it's
really his, everything he's been wanting in his life is in that moment.
Yes.
Outside of his relationship with Holly, is that Michael's like high point in the show?
Wow. You're probably right.
Rewatching that episode, outside of Holly and maybe like in the end or the finale or like when the episode when he leaves and he gets a lot of high points, I think that is like the happiest he's ever is.
Like Michael's fantasy so much, or one of them, is to have this a room full of people cheering for him. Like they're all his friends and they think he's funny and he's entertaining the crowd. And that's actually the moment where it happens.
In New York too. Not even all Scranton.
It's a really good flip on Dwight's speech where Dwight is overwhelmed that Michael has to try to go up and he just fails spectacularly, you know, and then he gets to flip it and have this big grand moment for himself.
It's such a good bookend, or it's such a good delivery when he does that spin, because that was set up at the very top of the episode.
Yeah.
When Michael's basically testing it for the audience, and then the Michael Scott waves to the crowd and the crowd goes wild, and you get Andy doing the like, ladies and gentlemen from Scranton. Michael works on the spin.
Hate the twirl.
We get the twirl.
Like, I'm not going to do the twirl. All right. It's not even a twirl. It's a spin.
I might do the spin. I would have liked to have seen a similar redemption for Michael's European cut shirt from the launch party.
Yeah. But it's, you know.
Why is it so tight?
It's so tight,
European cut. It just looks bad.
It's a Brazilian cut in the pants when he's wearing the ladies' suit. Yeah. It's a European cut.
Mysterious, yeah. But launch party is another good instance of this, I think, where Michael thinks that he's being invited to this party in New York. Yeah. And it turns out that he has this frustration that this cool, hip, young executive doesn't see him as the way that he thought he did. Yeah. Which obviously leads to Michael. This is a moment where Michael doesn't get to go to New York, where Michael and Jim are going together. Michael has brought along green eggs and ham as a gift for Ryan instead of all the places you'll go. And Jim has to U-turn in the middle because the club is called Chat Room and the password is password.
That is the invitation.
A rude
for
awakening.
Internet that. Chat room.
I love that Jim puts the turn signal and he starts getting off the highway before he starts explaining.
Before he starts talking to Michael.
Well, you know what that is?
Okay.
But it's such a Jim thing.
That is the real life version of what happens in Jim's mind, where he knows that Michael is totally off the rails and he says something very plain to Michael. I know. He's just like letting Michael go. But in his head, he is turning away from the situation and figuring out how to get away from it.
I think he also knows what Michael's capable of. And he's like, if I can get the car going the other direction before Michael, I break this news to Michael, we might not die. Like, Michael won't jerk the wheel or something. Like, he's capable of some crazy stuff.
And if you're telling me that I have to go back to Scranton, then I'm going to throw up. All right. I'm throwing up.
I'm with this car.
Yeah. Well, then I'm going to throw up.
The shot of green eggs and ham being thrown out the window and landing on the concrete.
So funny.
Yeah. But then, of course, Michael and Dwight do go to New York to have some New York-style sushi. Where else can you get New York-style sushi? Tokyo, Dwight says. but they go up there, and they go to the club, and they steal one platter of sushi. Dwight grabs chopsticks and soy sauce, and they have their last moment. Yeah, or they have that really nice moment at the end.
But both in launch party and also before in shareholder meeting, those are both times where it's like, the old storytelling thing, like play thing. If you show a gun in the first act, it needs to show up in the third act.
The Chekhov.
That this is happening in both these episodes, where like with the spin in shareholder meeting, and then of course with going to New York to party in launch party. It's like by the end, we need to go there and see the party.
Yeah,
and both are very satisfying. And grabbing the plate of sushi, by the way, the dude is surprisingly chill with them stealing a plate and leaving, like right.
Well,
in front
it's just
of him.
Been it's just a platter of sushi that's been sitting there probably all night that no one has eaten that they're just going to throw away.
But you don't know that Michael's just like going into the parking lot to eat it. It's like, well, the dude's stealing a platter, and like they're stealing stuff right in front of him. He's just like, it must have been a long night because he's just walks back behind the bar.
It also means that someone, when they leave and Dwight puts the platter on somebody else's car, it means that somebody else walked out to their car with just a platter of half-eaten sushi.
Yeah, I know.
Similar to Stanley seeing the watermelon all over his car.
There's so many instances of this in this show where Michael just leaves something or just sets something down and walks away.
Someone's going to clean that up. We're the ones that got to clean that up.
Yet another instance of Dwight with a platter of food doing something funny.
Then I think too, like, you, okay, we talked about Daryl a little bit, or it made me think of we're the ones that got to clean that up. Made me think of the negotiation.
Yes,
where Michael calls Jan about negotiating for a raise. This is after Roy attacks Jim, and Dwight steps in there with like a sock full of nickels, and they go up there, Michael and Toby and Daryl, to negotiate with Jan. So there's yet another moment of Michael interacting with Jan.
Yes. And this is when he's wearing the mysterious suit, of course.
Yeah. And then having Toby there is such a great sort of like inflection on a Michael in New York moment.
Yes.
What are you writing, perv ball?
And he is.
I am going to smack you in the head with a hammer.
Toby's there a few times when Michael's in New York simply because of his corporate standing.
He says in that talking head, I'm preparing for the deposition. It will be a landmark case when it inevitably goes to trial. I bought you jade earrings. So there is you get that little bit of Toby there as well, where like the person that Michael hates the most is there.
Yeah. What's he say? He's like, this is probably the first time that a male subordinate has tried to get a raise by withholding sex.
From a female superior. This will be a groundbreaking case. The scene of Daryl, Toby, and Michael driving to New York is great. Where Daryl's like, I haven't been to New York in a while. Like, got a cousin that lives down there. Maybe I'll stay overnight. And offers it to Toby. So, you know, people like Toby.
Not a big place.
Oh, can I stay there? Dude, it's not that big.
Not that big.
Buses, though, they get you home quick.
So cold. I wonder if Daryl got to know Toby from dating Kelly and all the time he spent in the
annex. Oh, just hanging out back there?
Yeah.
Could be.
But do you think the bridge between Toby and Daryl then might have gotten burnt when... they're trying to investigate Daryl's workman's comp.
Ah, yes. Claim. You're That's into true. Trains?
Mm-hmm. Hey, asshole, you going to eat all that dog food yourself?
Yeah, Toby.
Hard to come back
Unleashed.
From that.
Unleashed. Yeah, that's tough, man. But yeah, I would imagine that Daryl and Toby spent a lot of time over the years mainly complaining about Michael and just talking that out. Mm-hmm. Something about also in that car ride, Michael eating pretzels is really funny. And Daryl, it's just something about the way he's eating it and talking. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, this is a happy place for Michael, surrounded by friends on a road trip, you know, except Toby's there, but whatever. Daryl's there, so it levels out for him.
If I remember correctly, because I haven't watched these in a while, there are deleted scenes from the shareholders meeting where they're in the limo. And like, again, Michael is under false pretenses that he's there to like be, you know, honored as a guest and everything. And he falls asleep either on the way or on the way home. And because he's so excited about the limo and they all stop for and when he wakes up, he's like, they're already there. Like he missed the limo ride and they stop for fast food without him. And like, he's missed out on this like fun road trip time with friends in the limo. Yeah.
It's classic.
Yeah.
It's classic.
I wanted
it's
to go
like,
back.
It's like in christening when they're on the bus ride and he misses going to a movie with everyone.
Yeah. I'm so glad to be back in a country that has movies. I think the only other thing that I wanted to go back to was the job where Michael is there he thinks he's a shoo-in for the job. He thinks he's like the number one candidate. It's going to be his job. He's acting too comfortable.
Yes.
As he tells Hunter like the secret message to give to Jan. And then he ends up, again, like he's doing so – he feels so comfortable with there, but he ends up telling Jan that she's about to get fired. And then it ends spectacularly with him withdrawing his name from consideration.
Yeah. Wallace. That, you know what? You bringing that up, too, makes me realize that I've never thought about this before. Do you think Michael was going to get the job before that? because David Wallace is kind of like, oh, well, like, you know what I mean? Like, David's kind of shocked by the news that they're still dating. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, everything goes really badly. And mm-hmm. David's like, yeah, actually, we're going to go with another candidate.
That's a good question.
I'm almost like, just from David's reaction, I'm almost a little bit like, maybe he was going to give him the job.
My guess is that Michael was not the top candidate at that time. I think they were considering him, but as David says on the record in the deposition, was he being seriously considered? No.
Yes.
But, I mean, I don't think they brought him in for no reason. It's just that Michael did really badly in this interview. Yeah. What ideas do you, what can we be doing better? I've never been a big fan of Dunder Mifflin. I'm thinking something like paper grates. Great paper is our passion. And I think, too, you get... he asked Karen off the record, and she says he would be a disaster.
That's
so
right.
I think there's
he's a nice guy. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's an element of Michael being considered. My guess, it was probably Jim. I think Jim was probably David's top candidate based on their friendship, the way they interact during cocktails. Like, I think Jim was probably based on the fact that the only candidates we know of are what, Michael, Jim, Karen, and Ryan. They said maybe some of the other branch managers, maybe, but. It's that would be my guess. The Jim was probably his number one pick.
Plus, and Jim is a tall guy. Dunder Mifflin likes tall guys.
Both Mifflin was and
tall,
tall men.
And his wife, what was her name? Bethany.
Of course, she knew him from Jerry from New Jersey.
Oh my gosh!
That's still my that's my favorite.
You have a drop of that?
Drop.
We need that
of the entire thing. Yeah, yeah, it's somewhere in there.
But yeah, I think, my guess is, yeah, that Jim was the number one overall pick before he withdrew his name for consideration. Hmm. And then there's that moment where, in a later season where Jim says to Michael, I actually withdrew my name for consideration. And Michael says, oh, I withdrew too. And he's right. Michael did withdraw his name for consideration after being told he wasn't going to get the job. Another moment where Michael is on his feet and flying blind. He's like, yeah, it probably wouldn't good. For me to take my girlfriend's job. That's not being a good boyfriend.
I started this company.
There you go.
In 1949. Back then it was an industrial supplier of metal brackets, mostly, for construction.
Oh, boy.
And then Mifflin. Of course, he killed himself later. But I knew Mifflin through the Rotary Club. Great. And he was at dinner with Beverly.
Beverly.
And her husband, what was his name? Jerry Trupiano from South Jersey, and he was tall. Both he and Mifflin were tall guys.
Great, and that's great. Thank you for coming in.
That is such a good depiction of an older person talking about people.
Yeah,
just going from one to the next, and just
that'll be us one day.
I know.
That probably is us
now. That's us now, dude. Could you imagine not knowing our whole crew and listening to us talk about them?
God. You mean like the way that we broadcast out all the time?
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, sorry. That was a long little...
It's a long drop. It's a long drop.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a long fall. But...
You feel that energy?
The only other moment that I can think of that makes sense to touch on is... Michael is stress relief, like you brought up at the very beginning of the show. Did you have to cut the face off the doll? Because they have to go there twice. After the fire and then after the...
I love that because you know that David got that detail. Like someone told him that detail. And I just would have loved to see his reaction in the moment. Like, when it first, like, and apparently one of the employees cut the face off the dummy doll. Like,
well, and they cut... I didn't rewatch that episode to prep for this, but don't they cut too? Did you have to cut the face off the doll?
That is such a... That whole scene of them in New York. Yes, I shouted fire. I shouted many things. I also shouted instructions on how to get out of the building, so you can imagine my frustration as safety officer when nobody would heed.
Heeded.
Of what?
Take heeded.
Heeded.
No one would. No one headed.
Headed. Take headed of.
No one would take headed of my instructions.
Well done, guys. Very good.
And then
performance.
Michael living out, I want all of the praise but none of the blame, moves to the other side of the table, shoved out,
yeah.
And comes up with the solution. Dwight, we are not mad. We are just disappointed. No, we are mad. You will be stripped of your title as safety officer. And a
I am not a mind reader, Dave.
What is the last time we see Michael in New York?
I think it's shareholder meeting.
Is it shareholder meeting? That's perfect because he leaves New York. Remember, it's like he's had his limo ride, but he's quick and he gets everyone and they sprint out to the limo and they get in and drive out in New York. What a perfect way for his New York time to end.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, he finally comes out on top.
We get the little stock ticker going by. Mm-hmm. DMI, and it's down in the negative. Dunder yep. Mifflin. It says it out loud. Yeah, because in season 6, it goes shareholder meeting to Scott's Tots to Secret Santa, which is where we find out from David right. about the bankruptcy. And then we have the banker, and then it goes into Saber. So that's like when...
And we're into Florida.
And we're into, yeah. You're in Florida now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's I think that's the end of Michael in New York.
There it is. Michael in New York. Well, let's take a quick break and then meet up for the conference room.
This podcast is brought to you by Raycon. In these uncertain and unprecedented times, as we navigate all of that, I have found that music and podcasts can be a tremendous help in navigating the anxiety that I feel, and I'm sure that all of us can relate to that. It can help tremendously. No matter how you're feeling about getting back out into the world, there's no denying that it's an adjustment. When the world gets too loud, something I love to do is create my own soundtrack by popping in my Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people or to stay calm with some guided meditation. You know, for me, one big hobby that I picked up in the last year and a half going through all of this is taking really long walks. Whether it's podcasts or music, I find it's a really good way to break the cycle of working at home and getting out of the house and getting some extra footsteps in. And it's a hobby and a habit that I can, you know, I'm really looking forward to continuing as hopefully we get closer and closer to getting things back to normal. But let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort, and unlike some other brands, they don't stick out of your ears, which is very nice. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Give them a try. You'll see what we mean. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, Michael Scott Podcast Company listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Scott. That's buyraycon.com/Scott to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Scott. This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouthwatering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Fall is busy, but HelloFresh recipes save time you'd otherwise spend meal planning, shopping, and chopping so you can get back to what matters. HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need to easily customize your order on the app within minutes. Easily change your delivery day, food preferences, and plan size, or skip a week if you need to. I've gotten HelloFresh a few times, and I usually get the veggie box. I find that it's a really easy way to eat more plant-based meals and to mix up what I would normally make at home. So it's a really good and easy way to kind of take the time and the thinking and the prep out of dinner and find a way to mix up your routine. So I highly recommend it. Go to HelloFresh.com/14Scott and use code 14Scott for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/14Scott and use code 14Scott for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Great Scott! 14.
All right, you know what? That's it. Conference room, 5 minutes.
Okay, to start off conference room today, we have a very, very quick one that was sent to us by our friend Caitlin that we'll talk about on the show. It's a meme format that I'm sure you may have seen with a number of different things, and we'll post it as well so you can comment on it. But it says, choose three to protect you. The others are coming to kill you. And yeah, the characters are...
make the rounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Angela, Pam, Kevin, Toby, Kelly, Dwight, Oscar, Jim, Meredith. So, I don't know if you guys have it up in front of you, but those are the characters. We need to choose three to protect us.
Okay. I mean, right away, Kevin's probably the biggest. So I'm going to pick Kevin.
He's also the slowest.
Yeah, but you could hide behind him, and I don't want him coming to kill me.
Okay.
Well, we know that he's a loyal, like, he'll have your back.
Yes.
That's true.
Saw, oh, yeah.
As we With saw Jim. Him be Jim number two.
Roy.
Thanks, guys.
Watch out.
Dwight, I don't want Dwight. If I have to choose, I'd rather have Dwight defending me
yeah,
than Dwight
exactly.
hunting
yeah,
me.
Yeah, agreed.
Yes,
got weird
Dwight, yeah, that's a good...
He's going to incorporate to come
and
kill you.
And Dwight so. Protected Jim. You know that he'll step in if he sees the time is
yeah.
right.
Dwight's a clear... he's on my protection team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you need someone smart, because now we've just got Dwight and Kevin. I feel like Oscar and Jim mm-hmm. can outwit them.
I'm going to take Dwight, I'm going to take Meredith, and I'm going to take Jim to protect yeah. me.
Ooh.
Jim's just got reach. Jim's got reach. He's yeah. tall. He's just big.
Meredith's street smart.
Meredith is she's a little bit of a wild card, but you get her like fucking like ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like get her pumped up. Crazy. She's going to defend you. She's going to claw people to death.
What is she saying?
But this
I've
means
got a
now
thing about
got,
guys trying to cut my throat.
I'm a little
don't
concerned,
cut my throat.
I'm a little concerned about the coordination that could happen between Angela and Oscar and Toby. Mm. I feel like they might. I think that's a smart trio that could probably figure out a way in. I don't know what
yeah.
they're trying to break into in my mm-hmm. scenario, but that's my pick for defenders.
I initially gravitate. I was thinking that as well. I'll go a different way just because you already took that. But the Jim and Dwight connection when they're working together on a team can be very strong, as we exactly. see in their sales Ooh. Calls.
Exactly.
And Meredith is a level of unpredictability, that's for sure. Wild card. I will go with Oscar and Kevin. Similar thing. They have a good friendship, a good rapport. You know? Papa Bear, Mama Bear, as Michael calls them. Yep. And then for crazy, let's add, we're not crazy, but just unpredictability, let's go with Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly's also, Kelly and Meredith, either of them, I would happily have them defend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kelly can attack verbally.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is it?
Kelly will also.
Andy's girlfriend, she's just like, oh my God, did you fart? And that is how it's done.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's really good.
I have an issue with whoever made this because they picked, I feel like the set of characters they picked is just not interesting
yeah.
to me. You could make this so much harder. Give me
Bob Vance.
Put Robert California on this list, please. Oh. Can you imagine that guy coming to kill you?
Stanley?
The way that how he about D'Angelo?
The way that Stanley approaches in the sumo suit?
Yeah. I put D'Angelo. I put Robert California. I put Joe Bennett on there. Mm-hmm. Think of the people yeah. she could hire to kill you. Oh,
Joe boy. Bennett's killed people.
Or protect you. She can get you on a plane in an hour. Get you out of there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just think there's a lot more interesting characters you could put on here.
So I agree with you, but I would go in the opposite direction. Like, I think I would remove Dwight, maybe Jim, maybe Oscar. Mm. And then maybe you add someone like Nate.
You go even more.
Yeah, even more kind of like, wow. I don't really know who's dangerous and I don't really know who's safe. You know, that would
Val,
be
Chris Gethard. What's his character's name?
Trevor. Yeah.
He's pretty harmless.
Sandwich delivery for Oscar Martinez.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You tell me. Hands him the receipt.
That's true. Trevor, you might not want on your team because even if you were coming to kill you, he doesn't actually have anything. He just has the receipts to show He's you that it. He has them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a good call, Edwin. I like that. I like. Yeah. Let's add in Nate. I'd add Nate. I'd add Val. I'd add Hiday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Hiday. Yeah. Of course, Hiday would absolutely kill you.
Mistake. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
kill the Yakuza boss on purpose.
Fun. I feel like there's a. I feel like we could. I feel like a listener is going to send us a better set of nine for us to consider.
I would like that.
Of the choose sure. three to defend you, the rest like are hunting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bob Vance. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's go to some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right. So today's trivia comes to us from Jack. Jack says, "Gents. My name is Jack, and I'm from
Hello,
Colorado.
Jack.
Knowing bear facts is really important here. My my wife and I are huge fans of the show. We have a 16-month-old and have spent the past year listening to many of your episodes through AirPods while rocking him to sleep. Oh, well, not so much me after my laughter and or tears dripping on his head from laughter woke him up during said rocking process. You guys have brought us so much joy during some very long days as new parents. Thanks, man. Well,
that's really nice, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, that means a lot.
Anyways, I realized you guys missed out on a super important point during the Roy episode. David Denman and John Krasinski starred in 13 hours together. For all Office fans, it was incredibly confusing to watch Roy and Jim on the same squad in a war movie. This leads me to my first question. What antagonists on The Office should be the stars of a Michael Bay movie together? Ed Helms and Rainn Wilson, Steve Carell and Paul Lieberstein, etc.
Oh, that's great. I like that a lot.
That's great. My next question for you guys is, what webisode series should have been produced? I think a Ryan Goes to Jail series would have been great after he's arrested. Lots of opportunities for Creed references, too. Like if Ryan's bunk has Creed's name scratched on it, or a reference to William Charles Schneider.
Papa Smurf.
Maybe his cellmate bought a fake ID from Creed, etc. Also, Kelly visits him in her tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, like she talks about. Yeah. Ooh, Ryan. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so good. All right. Anyways, trivia.
To answer your question, I would like a Mindy Kaling, Craig Robinson, Michael Bay movie.
Oh, wow.
They're not antagonists, though. But
they
I would
kind
like
of are by the end of their relationship a little bit, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You need to access your uncrazy side.
I would just like to see them like in a buddy film of any kind.
I think they could be in a really good buddy cop.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. I would like to see a web series about Kelly Kapoor. I feel like we could have seen something really funny with her as the main character. I wish we could have seen more of that.
Wasn't that Aaron and Kelly?
They did the subtle sexuality. They did that.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Those songs, like, seriously slap. They're so good.
So good. Anyways, trivia. The theme is Michael's misuse of the English language.
Ooh. Excellent.
Okay, here we go.
It's incalculable.
The Vance refrigeration hate note.
There's the X-axis.
The Vance refrigeration hate note in the merger says, "You will never be able to blank us.
Get together and revenge us, or pull together as a team and revenge us."
Yes. In Casino Night, what does Michael call himself instead of a philanthropist?
Philanderer.
Philanderer.
Yeah, correct.
Great philanderer.
In Ben Franklin, Michael says he has this, but means epiphany.
Epiphany?
Yes, correct. In Watermark, Michael says, "It wasn't me. They are trying to make me a blank."
Oh, it's a scapegoat, but he says a scapegoat.
An escape goat. Yes, exactly. What tool does Michael ask Meredith for on the side of the road during Women's Appreciation?
A Crescent Allen.
Yeah. Which is just two different types of wrenches.
Yeah,
that's another situation, like you were saying, Alex, where Michael could wear leather gloves and direct traffic.
Yeah.
Yes. He also takes the tire jack and uses it like a lug wrench, where he puts it on the tire. Yeah.
What movie does Michael misname in Survivor Man?
Castaway name.
The movie is...
Give us a hint.
If you give us the movie, that'll tell us what it is, probably.
Give us a hint.
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh. Broken... I don't know.
He calls it Broken Mountain. In the deposition, Michael says, "The timing was nothing short of blank."
Predominant.
Correct.
Yeah.
And finally, in Job Fair, Michael says, "Want to get some fresh blood... blank this place.
Euthanize this place."
Yes.
Ah, nice. Very, very good.
Oh, man. All right. Awesome.
That one I didn't even remember. I just did the logic real quick.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, Jack, thank you so much. That was great trivia, great message. If you want to send us trivia, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us and leave us a message, 503-694-9314. We are probably due for a voicemail soon, a voicemail bag episode soon, so please give us a call. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com, and we're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. Become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. You'll get ad-free episodes. You'll get a mailbag episode every month.
Exclusive.
You get to be a part of a fun community. You get to support the show, and we make
college
a donation.
Tuition.
Yes, that's right. We make a donation together to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund.
Or lithium.
Special thanks to our Scott's Tots. We love you guys so much. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs all of our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out
with
us. And New
York. It was recorded
in
Portland.
New York. That's right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, how could I forget? I could totally.
The city's so nice. The city's so nice. They named it twice. Manhattan.
Times Square to Pioneer Courthouse Square.
You know what? I'm near the Garment District. I can stop by and get a Crate of Dwight's shirts. Dwight is a shirt guy.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
Give me a Dunder Mifflin robe, too, while you're there.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging with us during our misuse of the English language, our misuse of office quotes and references, and for just hanging out with us. It means a lot to us that you listen and interact with us. It makes doing the show really fun, and it's just something that we look forward to doing. So thank you again for being with us on the journey. And take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Bippity poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir.
I love you, New York.
We're going to come back with a plan for you. It's a 45-day plan. 45 days to get us back on track. Yeah. Yeah. 45 points. It's a 45-day, 45 point, 1 point per day. We get to 45 points. We are back in business. Yeah. And you can take that to the bank. Yeah. And limo lady, we are going completely carbon neutral. Yeah.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.